This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks for listening. Now listen to this. The sounds of war. The voices of war.
There's nothing left of our house.
The jets bomb the area all around our house.
When we wake up, we wonder, how will we feed our children? We collect food from here and there. By nighttime, the food is gone. Thank God today we found food. But tomorrow, we don't know. By each night, we don't know if tomorrow will live or die.
What you are listening to are the voices of civilians in the besieged Syrian city of Aleppo, courtesy of some of the amazing reporting of our colleague C.J. Chivers from our partner, The New York Times. But the gunfire and sound of airstrikes you're hearing, not from Syria. They're taken from official U.S. military footage of the battle for Ramadi, Iraq, back in 2006. Now, unless I disclose that, you might have a hard time distinguishing the violence and warfare in Iraq from what is going on in Syria right now. Perhaps the only real difference is that there are no U.S. soldiers inside Syria right now. A grim similarity between Iraq 8 years ago and Syria today is the premise of veteran war correspondent Patrick Coburn, who joins us now. Patrick, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So let's first of all begin with some of the superficial similarities of Iraq and Syria, both Ba'athist regimes. Iraq, of course, taken down by a U.S. invasion. Syria coming apart on its own. How do you see the similarities here?
Well, in both cases, we seem to have a sectarian civil war of extraordinary cruelty and brutality, and we saw it in Iraq increasingly from 2003, reached in by 2006, there were thousands of bodies turning up every day, and we seem to be heading that in that direction in Syria. We have decapitation videos of generals belonging to the government, they're having their heads chopped off on videos that everybody in Damascus is watching, mosques being set fire to, civilian areas being bombarded with artillery. And you have sectarian terrors everywhere. I was in a Christian village. They were obviously, they had 4 kidnaps recently. They were obviously very frightened people. Alawite soldiers who fight for the regime think that there's no point in surrendering unless they get their heads chopped off anyway.
Is the part of the similarity due to the fact that Saddam Hussein kept the lid on the sectarian tensions that were always latent inside Iraq with brutal force, and that Syria's Assad, 2 generations now, have been doing the same for decades, and the pressure is just being released, whatever the cause?
Yes, but I think they both kept the lid on, and they also exacerbated those sectarian tensions. I mean, in Saddam's case, it was a Sunni minority ruling over a Shia and Kurdish majority. In Syria, you have an Alawite minority, 10% of the population, ruling over the Sunni, who are 70%. So this means that however secular the opposition might be, even if they don't want to be sectarian, if you have democracy in Syria, it's going to be a Sunni regime. If you're going to have democracy in Iraq, it's going to be Shia.
We're talking with Patrick Coburn, Middle East correspondent for The Independent. Patrick, the conventional wisdom post U.S. invasion of Iraq is that the U.S. went in there and created the chaos that became the sectarian violence in 2006 and afterwards. But perhaps it's the case, looking at Syria, that there was no outcome post-Saddam that would be anything other than the carnage and chaos that we're now seeing in places like Aleppo. Your thoughts?
Yes, I'd agree with that. I think they may have exacerbated it by dissolving the army and giving the Sunni community in Iraq nowhere to run to. They got marginalized politically. They got economically deprived. But it was there was going to be a major sectarian conflagration anyway. And I think the same thing is happening in Syria. And the longer it goes on, the worse it gets. I mean, there are many Syrians who don't want it to go that way, who insist, no, it's really the people against the regime. And maybe to begin with, it was like that. But increasingly, everything one, certainly I saw in Damascus and elsewhere, everything that people said to me reminded me more and more of Iraq as it approached this sectarian civil war.
And, of course, as you know, all during that sectarian civil war in Iraq, the people of Syria both feared what was happening on the other side of the border. It was believed that within Syria, what was happening in Iraq was, in a way, a stabilizing force, that under no circumstances would they want the scenes in Iraq to be played out in Damascus and Aleppo. And yet it has all come home to roost. If there was a lesson from the Iraq experience that could be applied in Syria, what do you think it would be?
To try to get the level of violence down, to try to get some form of understanding going. I mean, the problem about this sort of war is it gets worse as the days go on. It's what in Northern Ireland we used to call the politics of the last atrocity. In other words, everybody's reacting to some recent atrocity, so nobody can really have any negotiations or talks or do anything to de-escalate the crisis. And I'm afraid we're reaching that situation in Syria.
Would that mean then, looking at the Iraq situation, that we could be as many as 8 years away from even the semblance of stability? And it's pretty tentative there in Iraq right now.
We could be, maybe, if all the outside powers involved were to reach some understanding, as ultimately they did in Iran at an earlier period, it wouldn't go on so long. But if you have different supporters, the U.S., Britain, NATO, Iran, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, all with their proxies, all pumping in support, not agreeing with each other, then that makes for a very long crisis.
All right. Similarities between the situation in Iraq in the middle of the last decade and what's going on in Syria right now. Patrick Coburn is the Middle East correspondent for The Independent. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.